Hey, I just want to say, as we begin this grand adventure, you're welcome in advance.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano.
Let's be honest, the bar is not real high right now.
Right.
Hey, that's quite a voice you've got there. You ever think about doing radio?
It sounds really cool.
No, it's not cool.
Can you bring a picture up?
Are you kidding me?
All foreigners love Chicago teams.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
A lot of booze, parties, women showing you the goods for beads. It doesn't get any better than that.
Smooth. Very, very smooth stuff. Very classy. I'm learning a lot from you right now, dude.
When I heard about this, I wanted to come up with some kind of articulate and thoughtful and, you know, well-debated response. This is just stupid.
Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at backseatzach or at backseatjack.
Yes, you are in the backseat, the Backseat Sports Podcast. I'm Zach Diodati alongside James Troiano. We've got Tully in the studio with us again, as we usually do. And
Wait. Can I stop you?
Yeah, you can.
Tully's always with us.
Tully's
he's always with us.
He's
part of the show.
Yeah.
Let's give him his due here. It might as well be the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach, James, and Adam.
Yeah. It might as well be. And you know, today
he's always here.
Today
we value your opinion.
I am the glue of the show.
We value your opinion, so, and
but you make
we value
of the
our own
time.
Ability to ridicule you. So,
well, today has been a holiday of some sorts. It's what a lot of sports fans like to refer to as All-Star Sunday.
Well, yeah, Pro Day.
The NHL All-Star. It's just a huge festival for most sports fans. You watched the NHL All-Star game today?
I watched.
You didn't catch that one, did you?
Yeah.
I didn't. Oh, man. What channel was it on?
I think it was on
NBC Sports.
Which or Versus.
When you say NBC Sports, you don't mean NBC the network
they took over Versus.
Oh, man.
If I'm hockey, I'm loving that, though, because NBC Sports sounds much more prestigious than Versus.
Yeah, of course it does. Better than Versus. Yeah,
now,
no, I agree with that.
You watch it for 3 hours, though, and hockey is sandwiched in between Big Game Hunter today and some other.
It was like that, but now with the NBC, they took it over. They actually have like the real, you know, Bob Costas shows on there,
okay.
And they've actually got like.
Well, good for them.
When the NHL came back from the lockout in 2005, they were actually on OLN for a year.
Yes.
It was the same network, Outdoor Life
That's
Network.
Right. That's right.
This is the third time they've changed the name.
It was almost like just intellectually dishonest because it was the Outdoor Life Network and they were playing hockey.
Indoors.
It
would be like watching tennis on the Home Guard Network.
Yeah, it would.
Basically.
Yeah,
because there's grass involved. Yeah,
yeah,
depending on
Wimbledon,
what tournament
right.
It is.
If they showed Wimbledon on the HGTV.
Very nice.
That's,
very nice.
Yeah, very good, Tully. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, next Sunday, there's going to be a game that people will watch. Okay? A sporting event that will be televised.
What?
And people... Yeah.
What's that?
Coming up, we've got a championship event of an American football league known as the Super Bowl. You heard of it?
No.
Okay, well, let me explain it a little bit further.
Explain this event to me.
All right, we're gonna splice off right here. And we're back. I just explained to James the Super Bowl. Bill Belichick has a chance at 4 Lombardi trophies. And the only other man that has 4 is Chuck Knoll of the Pittsburgh Steelers fame. He won 4 in 6 years. And, you know, I mean, that's about the only way he could have Belichick beat if the Patriots win this coming Sunday. Are you sticking with the New England prediction? From last week? We didn't delve deep into the predictions. Is Rob Gronkowski still in a boot? Does that worry you at all?
No, it doesn't matter.
I got a shot here of Gronkowski. He's wearing gray pinstripe pants, one that looks like a lugs boot, and then the actual boot he's wearing for the cast is kind of like a metal Teva sandal of sorts.
Cool, thanks. No one cares. no one cares. Let's talk about the game.
It's not hurting him with the ladies, though. But let's talk about the game.
A couple years ago, after T.O. was able to play in that Super Bowl in 2004.
Right.
With that.
And he had a great game.
Broken foot.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can do anything as far as I'm concerned. So a high ankle sprain is not going to leave him out.
Yeah, the Super Bowl was kind of like when you start to see guys really shaking off the injuries that they wouldn't, you know.
Well, and some of them might. I mean, their football players are pretty tough guys.
Right.
But it's the Super Bowl, and you don't know when you're going to get back there. So
right.
If you have an injury that you can use the limb or the extremity or body part to play, you'll play.
Well, it's Pouncey from the Steelers, a center, last year. You know, that was a big story for the whole 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, and he was straight up telling the media, I'm playing, and he didn't, but you can see the mentality. He just was telling himself and the press, I've got to play.
It's got
to
be gut-wrenching watching your team play the Super Bowl while you're on the sideline after you played with that team all year and all playoffs, and then you don't get the big payoff.
The sideline is the worst seat in the house at the Super Bowl.
Coach, though? Can you imagine the coach that has to make that decision to tell this guy that he's not going to play in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's no fun. I think it's worse to be the player, but no, you're right. That's no fun to tell the guy, like, look, I know you've been telling the press all week that you're going to play, but you're not, sorry.
He probably knew he wasn't playing.
Well,
and
look,
you want to get, it's a game.
When you start talking about Hall of Fame, I mean, obviously Bill Belichick is a future Hall of Famer, and you start talking about legacies. If the Patriots win, you know, where does Belichick place just after, regardless of what he does in the future? Where does he place now if he wins this game and evens up with Chuck Knoll 4 apiece for most Super Bowls ever? That is a huge, huge accomplishment.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where he's at, but he's up there, top 5.
Mm-hmm. The Steelers had a lot of good players then also, back in that day.
I think it's more impressive now. I think it's more impressive now because of free agency.
In a bigger, deeper, more competitive league.
You barely field the same team every year. It's a big victory if you can put the same team on the field multiple years in a row because of free agency. But Chuck Knoll had that same team.
Not only the team, he's had a lot of turnover in coaching staff.
I mean,
every time someone is an assistant for Bill Belichick for longer than a year, their name means something just because they've been one of his assistants.
Absolutely.
But other than Tom Brady, I'm struggling right now to think of another guy that still plays for New England that played for them in 2001 when they beat the Rams and their first Super Bowl championship in this run. I mean, other than Brady, I don't think Wes Welker was playing yet for them.
Brady's probably the only one. There isn't too many players back from last time they played the Giants in 08.
Right.
I mean, it's Wes Welker, Vince Wilfork. Yeah.
Deion Branch, I think, was...
Yeah, but I mean, Branch was gone. I mean, Branch is barely...
When I think about the 03 team, that I'm 02 or 03 that beat the Panthers, I think of Branch and Brady, and then I still can't come up with, I think, another name. So it is... You're right. I mean, that's the point there, free agency. I don't know if the Steelers... again, this was done in the span of 6 seasons. Chuck Knoll's 4 Super Bowls. I think it's probably fair to assume. We'd really have to dig for that data. It's probably fair to assume they had a fair amount of players remaining from the first Super Bowl that they won under that coach.
You know, Joe Paterno took that Steelers job, and then at the last minute declined the job, and they hired Chuck Knoll.
That's something that not being from Pennsylvania, I did not know that.
Yeah, so history could have been very different.
Very, very different. Yeah, wow, those are two names that you throw around, and if you talk about them changing paths, you know, who knows what would have happened. I got to stick with the Patriots as well as far as predictions go. Too many weapons, that's about what it comes down to. Now, Eli Manning has made, not that Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz weren't weapons in their own right already, but I feel like Eli Manning, has lifted them this season to a different level they hadn't been before.
I don't do the too many weapons argument because mm-hmm. I think that they have equal weapons. They're just
equal?
Different. They're different because I would take the Giants running backs and receiver core over anything the Patriots have. I would take just Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. That's it.
You take New England's tight ends over any team.
But I'm taking Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Right.
And that's
what
I'm taking because you cannot possibly make an argument that New England's defense is better.
Nope.
Or their offense. You just can't do it.
No, those Giants defensive linemen wear those humongous face masks, and you just get a little bit intimidated.
Yeah, they look like Roman gladiators.
They look like knights, they're riding on horses.
I wonder
if they can't see their face.
Do they do that on purpose?
I'm starting to wonder. They all have those huge. They look like knights riding in on horses.
They do.
But it's funny with this kind of. We just spoke a minute ago about how many players still remain.
Yeah.
And you said, I don't even know how many are remaining from the 07 game, the Super Bowl in 07 when these two teams played. So if that's the case, how much is this game being a rematch of that year even matter once you're on the field?
Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. I think the only way that it's a rematch is between Brady and Manning, and I don't think they really care that much. And then Coughlin and Belichick.
Well, you want to win. I mean, you're not. What are you looking
right,
at? Oh, we'd like to get back at him too. But yeah, you mm-hmm. do that by winning. So
I think if it was the next season, that'd be different.
Well, I think that there's some individual guys who feel like the guys that were on that team, if you're a Patriot, you feel stung.
Yes.
And you are going to take that with you into the game. But when you get on the field, I don't care how stung you feel. If you don't execute, you're going to lose again.
Right.
So they know that, and they're preparing like that, and that's why I don't think it's going to be an issue.
I can't help but think that the few guys that are remaining from that team that lost to the Giants in 07 may be thinking, if they win this game, maybe thinking, all right, finally. That was the Super Bowl we were supposed to have that year that we went undefeated in the regular season.
Yeah, and for the Patriots, it would completely vindicate that other season because nobody would care anymore.
A little bit.
And look, I think that a good matchup to watch is going to be actually Matt Light and Justin Tuck. They had a little thing going back in 2008, and they've been talking again this week. So stuff like that did carry over. But I think I don't know if it was a Giants or a Patriots player. I was watching ESPN the other day, and he's like, come on, man. Like, I think we're like, oh, no, it was a Patriots player. And he's like, yeah, what do you think? We, like, thought about the Giants for the past 4 years, and we've just been, like, stewing on this. He's like, they're not in the same conference. I mean, what are the odds that they got back? Like, it's if it's a big deal, people will make it a big deal. But the media will make it a big deal. The teams, I think, have level heads because both of them have been here before, and it's not like – They're professional.
I think that after this year's BCS championship game, looking at the Super Bowl, people are thinking that's not really much of a rematch.
Yeah, exactly.
Two rivals from the same. You can't have that in the NFL. You can't have like divisional, obviously, with the conference format. But media week this coming week will, of course, there will be someone really entertaining. There's always something, some fun sound clips. Tully, I think even Sky Sports shows up for Super Bowl media week. I mean, it's from all over the world.
Tully, who are you taking?
I'm going to go with New England, but I also agree with what you were saying, that as a team, a complete team, New York's better.
I think
but
the Giants are a more complete team.
Well, and they're the hotter team.
I'm only taking the Patriots because of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, just so you know.
The X factor is definitely Brady.
Right.
Yeah, you're kind of making that, like, just that cognitive pick of just, these guys are just,
I cannot see Tom Brady losing this game.
Yeah.
There you go. That's about what it comes down to.
But I couldn't see him losing in 2008, and that happened. So,
that's true.
Well,
but this team does not have the pressure of going undefeated, and that may have been what it came down to.
I didn't think that team in 2008 had a killer attitude, and I've said this before. I think that they were so talented that they blew people out all year, and they got to the Super Bowl, and they were like, we're going to blow these clowns out.
Well, listen, that's where the term battle-tested comes from. It is. That's where that term comes from, is teams that have been challenged and learned how to win when they were in a tough situation.
Right.
Yeah, backs against the wall.
Right.
Exactly. Right. And this year, it has seemed to me like Bill Belichick, Wes Welker, Tom Brady, those guys are on a serious mission, and nobody's getting in their way. Like, you remember this Tebow crap? He came into that game, and twice he did it to Tebow. He's like, who are they talking about? Not me. Oh, I'm going to make them talk about me. And he just blew Denver out twice.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of year that they've had. And they did it. I remember watching when they played Philadelphia. People were talking about Philadelphia. They went in there, and they did some business. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing it all year. I mean, they've been laying down the law.
Really?
And they're going to do it again. And they have the law firm. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis,
absolutely, so. An SEC guy. Well, we're all going Patriots, and we're not trying to predict anything bizarre. But coming up in the next segment, we do have the bizarre. We got some weird stuff.
Some wacky
this week. We got some wacky things.
Yeah.
That's coming up next in the Backseat Sports Podcast.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano. Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter @BackseatZach or @BackseatJ.
Yes, you are back in the Backseat Sports Podcast. I'm Zach Diodati. He's James Troiano. We got Tully with us, as we always do every Sunday. This is a segment we like to refer to as the Bizarre. And we try to keep this sports related, but we can't help ourselves. Sometimes we veer over into the pop culture segments of things that are bizarre around the world. We got a real mess this week. The first one comes from Massachusetts, and a dentist that admits to, James, using paper clips in a root canal procedure. Tully, you're going to the dentist tomorrow?
I'm going twice.
Mm. Looking forward to the paper clips? Michael Clare, 53, pleaded guilty Friday to a slew of accusations stemming from his substandard dental practice, Substandard, in Fall River, Massachusetts. You scroll down here, his dentist office was in a mall.
red flag.
Yeah. Hey,
yo, if you're going to a dentist office in the mall, that's a you problem.
Might as well be in the back of a van.
It says he was suspended by Medicaid in 2002, but continued to file claims for years using the names of... We don't like to get political, but I want to tell Mitt Romney that his strategy right now should just be say, hey, look, I instituted Romney Care. This is what happened. Dentists are using paperclips. That needs to be his new campaign angle with these dentists in Massachusetts.
Who blew the whistle on this?
You know, looking down here, prosecutor said Claire was suspended, blah, blah, blah. New Harbor Mall. The Herald News reported that Claire's trial was scheduled to start yesterday. You know, it's tough to find out, but I can't help but think there was some guy that was sitting in the chair and just had the guts to ask, hey, dude, are you using paper clips right now?
Well, what?
Is that a paper clip I just saw?
Wait, yeah, so I don't get it.
He was trying to cut costs, okay?
Is that what he said? Well, he was trying to cut costs?
I think he was. He admitted that it was fraud.
He performed successful root canals with a paper clip.
I don't know about successful.
Well, obviously, it went on for a long time. He was kind of successful.
Yeah, okay. Well,
but first of all, does this guy need to be punished? Because this guy, I mean, that is a serious, seriously skilled dentist to be able to do that with a paperclip.
So you know what you're reminding me of here? It's the guys who watch a high-speed chase on the highway on TV, and they say, that guy's a great driver. Look at the skill.
Well, I mean, if you give the guy real tools, imagine what kind of work he could do.
Well, speaking of doing work with real tools, this story comes from Germany. Headline, paid to do it, but fails to make his friend's wife pregnant after 72 attempts. 72.
All right, what's the back? Give everybody the background of the story.
Let me give the story right here.
Put this in context.
In Stuttgart, Germany, a court judge must decide on case of honorable intentions. I don't know if that's an American law that you can break.
Wait, what?
Honorable intentions. In a situation where a man hired his neighbor to get his wife pregnant. It seems that Demetrius Supalis, 29, and his former beauty queen wife, Trot, that's a real beautiful name, wanted a child badly, but Demetrius was told by a doctor that he was sterile. Okay, you know, it happens. Understandable.
Sure.
So Supalis, after calming his wife's protest, hired his neighbor, Frank Maus, 34, to impregnate her. Since Maus was already married and the father of two children, plus looked very much like Supalis to boot, the plan seemed good. Yeah, all right, good so far. Supalis paid Maus $2,500 for the job, and for 3 evenings a week for the next 6 months, Maus tried desperately a total of 72 different times to impregnate Trout. When his own wife objected, he explained, "Hey, look, I don't like this any more than you. I'm simply doing it for the money. Try and understand. Yeah, you tell her." When Trout failed to get pregnant after 6 months, however, Supalis was not understanding and insisted that Maus have a medical examination, which he did. This is where it gets really out of hand.
This is great.
The doctor's announcement that Maus was also sterile shocked everyone except his wife, who was forced to confess that Maus was not the real father of their two children. Now Supalis is suing Maus for breach of contract in an effort to get his money back. But Maus refuses to give it up because he said he did not guarantee conception, but only he would give an honest effort.
That's my favorite part.
Look at this late woman. Yeah. I would give an honest effort myself.
Can you see yourself? But her name's Trout.
Yeah, what does it matter?
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Oh, Trout.
That doesn't. She can wear this red little thing she's wearing here and call herself whatever she wants, man.
Upstream on this Trout.
What is the most unattractive female name?
Gertrude.
I think.
Which is also a German name.
What about Olga?
Also,
which is also a German name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or Bavarian name, if you want to.
Yeah, anything. Yeah. Very good. But anything Eastern European name? Yeah. Olga. Olga's bad.
Reminds me of a woman with too much hair on her body.
You know what's funny about this is $2,500 apparently is the going rate.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Look.
Like,
let's talk to them. Let's ask the married man a question.
Yeah, I'm the only married one here.
This woman looks like she cost $2,500. He got paid $2,500.
Would you be interested in that kind of deal if you were told that you couldn't possibly impregnate your lovely, beautiful wife?
Up front,
Thank would you,
James.
Pay?
I
not Zachariah. I won't go there.
$2,500
I will. Would you? What would be your solution to that problem?
Not to spend $25,000. That's probably not his answer.
I would take a different
what
avenue.
What about having some dignity and not letting another exactly. man ravage your wife three times a week for six months?
I would take a different avenue on that one. But in this circumstance, I would have the guy pay me. $2,500.
Well,
wait, whoa.
That just makes you a pimp.
That just makes you a pimp and your wife a prostitute. I don't know if she listens to but I hope she doesn't.
I'm just saying, the idea of that one is just funny. Not only am I going to give you a couple grand,
so you,
I'm going to let you knock so boots
you
here
are,
for like all summer long.
All right, so let me get this straight. Let me get
Very, very smooth stuff, very classy. I'm learning a lot from you right now, dude.
Let me get you on record here. Let me get you on record. So you are comfortable sharing your wife as long as you receive the money. You are not giving the money.
No. No, I said I would definitely.
Well, that's what you said.
In this story, like you said, if that was the case and I was sterile like this guy here, I would take a different avenue.
Sterile.
Okay? Yeah. How about the avenue that doesn't involve your wife having sex with another man?
That's what I'm saying. I would.
Is that an avenue
that?
That avenue, that one avenue.
That street.
That would be the first avenue I think that I would pursue.
That is the boulevard I would go down. All right.
Okay, that's a different boulevard. It seemed like you were going down when we were having this discussion.
But I'm just saying, it's funny. Not only did this guy allow his neighbor to have sex with his wife, not once, twice. Was it 76?
72. He had a schedule. He had a schedule 3 nights a week for 6 months.
Not only that, but he paid the guy $2,500 to do it. Mm.
Millions and millions of men are saying, where was I?
Seriously, yeah.
When this contract was put on the
table. I moved into the wrong neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to look for homes in Stuttgart from now on. James, moving into the sports realm of the bizarre, you have a survey.
All right,
and the credibility of the survey, we're starting to wonder about.
The only reason why we are humoring this is because of Adam. Adam brought it to my attention, and this article is from Puck Daddy. Greg,
I love Puck Daddy.
Greg Wisniewski.
Yeah, he's a great blogger.
He is
just really very frequent updater on Yahoo Sports.
Yep,
the Puck Daddy blog.
He wrote this article headlined.
It's got a headline, but we've got a slow computer. So.
I clicked back by accident. Mm. Anyway, look, let me speak. Don't tell ESPN, but new poll finds hockey as popular as basketball in the U.S. I'm calling bullcrap.
I'm calling bizarre.
Yeah,
I don't think
he would write an article like this because that is not true, and I think that any sensible human being living in the continental United States would understand
That basketball
except
is more
for
popular.
The man to my left here
and to my across
had to, he couldn't contain himself. He texted me this article earlier in the week.
He texted it to me too.
I said, I will not humor you right now. I will humor you on Sunday night when we talk about this with Zach.
Yeah, he sent it to me too. Here's the problem that I have buying the scientificity of this survey. I think it was done in an area like the Great Lakes, Michigan, Wisconsin. Here's the other thing that tips me off about the survey. What were the numbers for college football? They weren't good.
All right, hang on. Yes.
This is the quote from the survey.
Right, but hold on. Before we go any further, the question that was asked was asking an individual, what is your favorite sport? It wasn't based on what the popularity, it was based on, if I say
that's
Zach.
That's what popularity is.
No.
Well, he is.
Zach, what was your favorite sport? That was the question.
Well, here's the problem with the article is he is saying, he is using that survey to distinguish popularity. That's why we're drawing the two together. This is what it says. Okay. Over one third of adults who follow at least one sport, 36% say professional football is their favorite sport.
That's believable, by the way.
While,
I argue that.
While just 13% say baseball is their favorite, the gap between the two sports has widened in the past year. Last year, 31% said pro football, 17% said baseball.
Right.
Looking at how other sports fare, this is where he's getting his data from, just over 1 in 10 sports fans, 13%, say college football is their favorite sport. I believe that.
13% for the whole country? If it was for the whole country?
For adults. It doesn't really specify. It might. While 8% say it is auto racing, 5% say men's professional basketball, men's college basketball, and hockey. They're all 5%. He's drawing the conclusion that because they both say 5% in this one poll, this Harris poll, that they are equally as popular. I think that we can all agree that his reasoning here is a little bit flawed.
Yeah, and the reason why I think he did the survey in that kind of area is I think if you did the survey with a balance around the entire country, A, I think the NBA would poll higher than 5%. B, I think that college football would be a little bit higher, not a lot, but like 15 to 20, not 20, but it'd be higher than 13%. We have college football regular season games that are outrating World Series, regular season, Series games. So that leads me to believe 13 should be a little bit higher. Also,
no, stop, NBA, stop. See, we're not talking about college. I knew you were going to do this.
How believable it is. That tips
you
me
have
off.
A problem, okay? You have a problem, okay?
You have a problem, okay?
And you need to knock it off. We're not talking about college
football.
That's
what tips me off.
You don't have to take that.
You're stealing my hockey thunder.
Yeah, we're talking about
I'm not trying to stay in college.
We're talking about where these professional sports rank, okay?
Professional sports because he asked about college basketball and college football. It's what's your one favorite sport? I think the NBA should be higher than 5%. I don't think
it's one poll.
Right, and I don't think that the poll was done across a broad, balanced population of the whole country, because I think NBA would poll higher than 5%.
I think that it was balanced. All right, but here's what I think. If I had to guess, I would say it's balanced. I don't think that they randomly sampled everywhere. Here's what I think. This guy's a good writer. We all read his blog, I think.
Yeah, I like Gray.
Okay, right, yeah. Okay. I think that he's digging for something that isn't there. All right, and so are you, Adam. I'm sorry.
The only reason why I thought this was interesting was because I have always personally thought that hockey has been, and I told you this, that kind of hockey has always been there, you know, with the NBA as far as popularity. And the only reason I say that is because just in my little world, the stuff I hear people talk about and the things that go on, you know, obviously the NFL. No, okay.
Family members?
Just anybody and everybody. I never hear anybody talking about, hey, did you see the NBA game last night? I never hear that. I don't see anybody wearing any NBA jerseys that are like actually like the fans, you know?
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive, yeah.
Well, do you see them wear hockey jerseys?
Well, yeah, okay, obviously down in here in Atlanta, okay.
Now, listen, Atlanta's not a big NBA town.
No.
It's not. It is if you talk about TV ratings.
Okay, yes.
It's like the number one market, actually.
Yeah, TNT is down the block. You work close to an NBA studio. You don't work close to an NHL studio.
If you go to Phillips Arena, you would think that it's...
Yeah, well, the Hawks are mediocre.
No, but yeah, basically what I'm saying, I really don't hear a lot of people talk about as much about the NBA anymore so than...
Well, I don't know what else James and I can tell you other than you might not just be paying attention, because I just feel like I do. I need to be more
observant.
Listen, well, here's the point.
I like hockey.
I desperately wish the Thrashers hadn't moved. Mm. I like hockey more than I like basketball, but that doesn't mean I like the NHL. Now, in the spring, when the playoffs are going on for both the NHL and the NBA,
I see
way more people talking about the NBA playoffs than the NHL playoffs. Yeah. Do you see more people talking about the NHL playoffs?
Honestly, I don't. I mean, aside from the names, the players, I don't really hear, honestly, people talking.
Then I don't know who you're hanging around, because there's just a lot more talk.
Until the NHL gets back on ESPN,
correct.
It's a lost
absolutely.
Cause. It's just a lost
agree.
Cause.
Correct. I absolutely agree. And we kind of talked
about how they were on the Outdoor
that.
Life Network. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's that.
But I mean, yeah, is the NBA on SportsCenter way more often than hockey? Absolutely.
Hockey's
almost never on. I'm just talking about actually like hearing in the real world, hearing people talk about a basketball game. I never hear it.
Yeah, it happens more than the NHL.
It does. It happens very frequently.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does. No. Well, maybe not with you. No one talks to NBA with you because you don't like it.
No, you're the only
person
I hear talk about basketball.
No, I talk about the NBA with Mike, one of our good friends.
Well, all right.
Very frequently.
How many people
about it today.
How many people talk about auto racing?
Right.
That's more popular than both of those sports, according to this poll.
Right.
NASCAR or like auto racing?
NASCAR. Any auto racing.
Because I like auto racing, but NASCAR is not included in that.
Okay. All right.
Those are automobiles that are racing each other.
This says auto racing, but
it does.
NASCAR, is the most popular version of that.
Yeah, I'm just going to assume it is NASCAR.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. There are a handful of NASCAR events that rate well on TV. There's only one IndyCar race that people even remotely watch.
Right.
And that's the Indy 500. But look, I don't know how else to say it other than, no, the NBA is more popular than the NHL. I don't, it just is. Not to mention, the NBA has popularity on all four corners of the country, and the NHL does not. The NHL is a regional sensation.
I'm not sure that it was always definitively more popular.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
not always.
In the early 90s, the NHL was definitely popular, more popular than the NBA.
But it's not anymore.
No.
And
no.
You can thank Gary Bettman.
Yeah, and, you know, players like Messier, Gretzky, Lemieux, look, honestly, and I will keep coming back to this until I'm proven wrong, having guys that are comfortable with a microphone in front of their face, they didn't have to say things about each other that were scandalous or controversial, but Alex Ovechkin is one of your, like, NHL, like, faces of the league, and we talked about him last week, and it's they don't have the same kind of star power, and it's not ability. It's not ability, because Sidney Crosby is about as talented as anyone that's ever played.
Well, he's got, I would argue that he is the only one is even remotely transcending the sport as far as the superstar status.
But you need more. You need more than one.
You need interesting figures or superstars, and Sean Avery isn't getting it done.
No,
he's not getting it done, and that's just.
And don't get
he sums it attention. Up.
Don't get us wrong, because I wish the NHL was more popular than the NBA, because I like hockey more, and I think that James would. You know, look, James is a Flyers fan. Do you know what phrase you've never heard James say? Go Sixers. Okay, so I think that you probably agree you'd rather have more access on regular cable TV to NHL games than NBA games.
I would like to have more access to Flyers games. Yes, I can get the NHL ticket if I really felt that way.
Right.
I just don't want to pay for it.
Right.
But I enjoy watching basketball equally as much as hockey.
Well, there you go. And I don't get us wrong. We're not trying to say that hockey sucks.
No,
but the NBA is more popular. It just is, and people do talk about the NBA more than the average American does talk about the NBA more than they talk about the NHL. That is the bizarre. It started real bizarre and got a little less bizarre. Coming up next, we're talking Hottie and Naughty, who had a good week and who continued to have a bad week this week in the Backseat Sports Podcast.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano. Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at backseatzach or at backseatj.
That is on Twitter at backseatzach, Z-A-C, or at backseatjjay, or email us at backseatsports@gmail.com. This is Hottie and Naughty, and we've got a few interesting selections here. Our first Hottie, James, is Wheel of Fortune, as you can hear, host Pat Sajak and co-host Vanna White. And why is that? Because Pat Sajak admitted this week to Dan Le Batard, of all people, that he used to do some shows drunk. Listen in.
But because we had all those prizes, we had endless time between shows. Our dinner breaks would be 2.5 hours long while they drove in new cars and boats and gazebos and stuff. So we had in NBC in Burbank, we had a place called Los Arcos across the street, which is Spanish, as you know, for the Arcos. And we go, and they serve great margaritas. So we would go, Van and I would go across and have 2 or 3 or 6, and then come and do the last shows and have trouble recognizing the alphabet. They're really good tapes to get hold of.
It sounds like you did more than one. It sounds like you did a few. You did a handful loaded up on margaritas.
We did. I think the number, the average number was cuatro.
That's pretty good right there. 4 margaritas. Pat Sajak, was the show better or worse?
I had a great time. I have no idea if the shows were any good, but no one said anything. So I guess I did okay. Now, you know, if I were to inhale the cork in a bottle of wine, I would probably keel over. I'm getting a little older for this. So we don't do that. I would be hesitant to have anything to drink now, although I'm hammered at this moment.
What's the moment?
How awesome is that?
That's awesome.
Listen,
that's awesome.
This makes me think we should do the podcast after the Super Bowl next week.
To quote our friend James, he's going to be canned.
Yeah, you need to look to Mr. Sajak. as an inspiration. And you need to buck up and do that podcast next week. What do you think? You inspired?
No. Do you want me to remember the podcast or not?
Do you think he ever solved Vanna's puzzle?
Yeah.
You think so? Six margaritas with her every other night.
Multiple times.
Lightning round.
As many times as mouse. Solved droughts.
Pat Sajak and Vanna White for stumbling their way through the evenings of Wheel of Fortune are definitely one of her hotties. I would like to nominate, as a naughty, the Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers for hiring coach Greg Schiano from Rutgers. James, good hire or not?
I wouldn't think so. We're going to find out, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
What? I'm not them, so I don't know what they were thinking kind of deal.
This almost qualified for the bizarre, but so the Buccaneers got rejected by Chip Kelly earlier this week, and then they hired a Rutgers coach, so that's not something you see every day.
Well, this is, you don't, like, that's what you came up with after you got denied?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a rough one. Football in the state of Florida continues to struggle. Another naughty, the Detroit Tigers. For backing up a dump truck full of money to a dump truck's house. $214 million for Prince Fielder.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
You forgot.
So we were talking. No, hold on. This is going to scare some people. But no, I was thinking that because, you know, you said that we had like an uneven number of hotties and naughties.
Right.
So I was thinking in my head this whole time, what if. If when that he signed that deal, if it was this week or last week, I couldn't remember if we already talked about that or not.
We haven't. We're talking about it right now.
Well, I realize
James is canned.
Right? I realize that we're talking about it now. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Well, maybe he's a hottie, but Detroit's a naughty. In about 4 years, I don't think that's going to look worthwhile.
I'm all for capitalism.
You know what's funny is that the city of Detroit doesn't have that much money.
Ooh, another good point.
Zing.
Yeah, the city altogether. I nominate tennis fans as a hottie because they got a great ending to the Australian Open this morning. A six-hour match between Rafa Nadal and Novak Djokovic, ultimately won by Djokovic. You say they're naughties.
So what you are saying is that tennis fans are hotties because of 3 a.m. matches and six-hour matches. What part of that is appealing to anybody?
It was awesome.
You have to be up pre-dawn to watch it, and it lasts 6 hours?
Yeah, it was great. This is another golden age of tennis we're living in. Djokovic,
golden
Nadal,
age.
And Federer are like Montana, Elway, and Joe Namath playing all at the same time. It is
young.
Awesome.
And you can continue to talk about it with the other five tennis fans that live in the United States.
I hear it's just as popular as the NBA, however.
Oh, I was going to make that in there.
Wait, hold on. Can I get a zinger? I think Detroit's so poor we should just give it to Canada.
Yeah, we should annex it to Canada.
Thanks.
Yeah. See what they can do with it.
Thanks.
Our last naughty of the week. This is the last of the... Billy Cundiff. It continues
Ouch.
For Mr. Cundiff. He missed the field goal that ultimately sent the Patriots to the Super Bowl. An easy 32-yard field goal. An online retailer of NFL jerseys is selling his number 7 jersey. And in the subscript, it reads, arrives in 3 to 5 business days to the house to the left of yours. Oh, God. I mean, we all rip on kickers.
I'd cut him. I would cut him. He would not even be on the team anymore, so his jersey would be worth $5 at TJ Maxx.
Oh, that is hottie and naughty. That was the Backseat Sports Podcast. I'm Zach Diodati.
You know who else is a naughty?
Who else is a naughty?
The Colts for this crap with Manning and Arsenal.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope they're bad for the next 10 years. No, I don't.
Well, we know that the Bolton Wanderers will be bad for the next 10 years because you can't turn it around, but in the NFL, you can.
Nobody knows what you're talking about, so that's stupid and you're stupid.
Oh, I'm a naughty this week.
You are always naughty.
That's the Backseat Sports Podcast. The podcast is a hottie, and so are all of you that listen to us, whether it's on Radio Exiles or downloading from iTunes, whichever you prefer. Thanks for listening to us. That's the Backseat Sports Podcast. I'm Zach Diodati.
Oh, wait,
alongside
hold on.
goodness.
Adam is a naughty for saying that he would share his wife for money. I almost forgot about that one.
The Backseat Sports Podcast. I'm Zach Diodati for James Troiano. And thanks again, Tully, for coming along. See you next week.